chapter 4, verses 1 to 31. The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power or what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is, that is, Jesus is, the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given by men by which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin, and they then conferred together. "What are we going to do with these men?" they asked. "Everybody living in Jerusalem knows they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name." Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them, because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in praise to God. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Hallelujah. Amen.
Good Morning, church. How are you today? Are you well? Filled with the Holy Spirit? Thank God. Okay, so as our dear pastor has said, our theme today is a spirit and persecution, which is a very broad theme. It could take me to the four corners of the earth and back, and I still have a lot to say. But trust me, I've cut it down where I will be within time. All right? So may the blessings of God be with you as we listen to the words. To introduce, we are living in serious times. We are watching a world that is growing darker by the day. Morality is collapsing. Truth is being questioned. Confusion is celebrated. Sin is normalized. And biblical Christianity is increasingly resisted. People today can tolerate spirituality, but many cannot tolerate the name of Jesus. You can talk about motivation. You can talk about positive thinking. You can talk about self-help. But the moment you preach repentance, holiness, the blood of Jesus, and salvation through Christ alone, opposition begins. And yet, in the middle of all this darkness, the church still stands. Not because we are popular, not because culture agrees with us, not because government supports us. The church still stands because Jesus said, "Upon the rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Matthew 16, verse 18. The early church understood something we must understand again. Whenever the Spirit of God moves, persecution follows. Whenever heaven advances, hell reacts. Whenever truth is preached, opposition rises. Whenever believers are filled with the Holy Ghost, the enemy fights back. But persecution has never been able to stop a spirit-filled church. It did not stop Jeremiah. It did not stop Peter. It did not stop John. It did not stop Paul. And it will not stop the churches today. Our theme is the spirit and persecution. As our dear pastor read in Acts 4, 1 to 31. So Acts chapter 4 shows us believers under pressure. Jeremiah shows us a prophet wounded by rejection. Yet both passages reveal the same truth. The Spirit of God gives power to stand when persecution comes. Acts 4 begins with conflict. Peter and John had just healed a lame man at the temple gate. The people were amazed. Crowds gathered. Jesus was being preached publicly. And immediately, the religious leaders became angry. The priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Notice carefully, the apostles were not arrested for doing evil. They were persecuted because they preached Jesus. That same spirit exists today. The world does not mind religion as long as religion stays quiet. The world does not mind church as long as church stays comfortable. But the moment believers boldly proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, opposition rises. Why? Because the gospel confronts sin. The gospel declares that humanity needs redemption. The gospel declares that man cannot save himself. The gospel declares that Jesus alone is the way to eternal life. And the spirit of this world resists surrender. Hear me. Darkness has always hated light. Jesus said in John 3 verse 20, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth light." A spirit-filled church never filled a spirit-filled church never fit comfortably into a sinful culture. We are called to love people. We are called to serve people. We are called to show compassion. But we are never called to compromise truth. The church is not called to echo culture. The church is called to confront darkness. Jeremiah understood this pain. He preached faithfully, but people mocked him, rejected him, laughed at him, attacked him. He preached faithfully, but people mocked. Sorry, I'm going back over there. In Jeremiah 20, he reached a breaking point. He said, "I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name." Jesus was exhausted, Jeremiah, discouraged, wounded. And perhaps some believers understand that feelings today. You stood for righteousness and people misunderstood you. You tried to obey God and opposition increased. You stayed faithful and still faced hardship. But Jeremiah said, "But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones." That's in Jeremiah 20, verse 9. The persecution was real, but the fire was greater. That is what the Spirit does. The Holy Ghost gives believers supernatural endurance. Acts chapter 4 teaches us that pressure exposes reality. Anybody can praise God. Anybody can praise God when life is easy. Anybody can worship when prayers are answered quickly. Anybody can smile when everything is comfortable. But persecution reveals what truly lives inside of a believer. When Peter and John stood before the council, they were threatened and interrogated. But instead of retreating, Peter preached boldly. The Bible says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost," in Acts 4 verse 8. Notice the difference. This is not the fearful Peter who denied Jesus. This is a Peter filled with the Holy Ghost. The Spirit changes fearful people into fearless witnesses. Saying that again. The Spirit changes fearful people into fearless witnesses. The same man who once trembled before a servant girl now stands before rulers with boldness. What changed? Pentecost changed. The Holy Ghost came. Church, we need the genuine power of the Holy Spirit again. Not empty religion. Not routine Christianity. Not emotional performance. We need the Holy Ghost fire. Because intellectual faith alone cannot survive. It cannot survive persecution. Only spirit-filled believers endure spiritual warfare. We are living in a generation overwhelmed by fear and confusion. People are battling anxiety. People are emotionally exhausted and searching for peace. And while mentally and emotionally struggles are real, the answer is not less of God. The answer is more of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit strengthens weak believers. The Spirit confronts broken hearts. The Spirit gives peace in chaos. The Spirit gives courage under pressure. Jesus never promised believers an easy road. He said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." John 16, verse 33. The modern world often promises comforts. Jesus promised victory through suffering. There is a difference between comfort and power. Comfort makes people passive. Power makes believers steadfast. The apostles survived persecution because the Spirit empowered them. And pressure still reveals whether believers are rooted in God or rooted in convenience. The authorities commanded the apostles, "Do not speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus." The Spirit still operates today. The enemy wants the church silent. Silent about holiness. Silent about repentance. Silent about biblical truth. Silent about Jesus. And intimidation is one of Satan's greatest weapons. Fear, mockery, pressure, rejection, and isolation. The enemy whispers, "Stay quiet, compromise a little, don't stand out, don't preach too strongly." But Peter answers, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye." Then he declared, "We cannot but speak the things we have seen and heard," in Acts 4, verse 20. Brethren, believers must decide who they will obey. Will we obey culture or Christ? Will we fear people or fear God? Will we compromise truth to gain acceptance? The pressure against biblical Christianity is increasing. Around the world, believers are imprisoned. Churches are attacked. Christians are mocked and rejected. Even in nations with religious freedom, believers face social pressure for standing for biblical truth. But hear me clearly. Truth does not change because culture changes. God is still holy. Jesus is still Lord. Sin still destroys. The blood still saves. The Holy Ghost still empowers. The church must never surrender truth for comfort. The apostles refused to be silenced, and we must refuse also. One of the clearest signs of the Holy Ghost in Acts 4 is boldness. The rulers saw the boldness of Peter and John. That's in verse 13 of Acts 4. Not arrogance, not pride, but spiritual boldness. The Spirit gives believers courage to stand, boldness to preach the truth, boldness to pray, boldness to worship publicly, boldness to resist temptation, and boldness to stand alone if necessary. The world is bold again about sin. Why should the church be timid about righteousness? Paul said, "God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind," founded in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. The Holy Ghost does not produce cowardice. The Holy Ghost produces courage. Biblical boldness is not harshness. It is not arrogance. It is not attacking people. Real boldness speaks truth with love while refusing to compromise. The rulers were amazed because these ordinary men carried extraordinary authority. And the Bible says they realized they had been with Jesus. That's a big testimony. Not they attended famous schools. Not they were publicly connected. No, they had been with Jesus. The presence of Jesus changes people. Can others tell that you have been with Jesus? Can your family see it? Can co-workers see it? Can neighbors sense it? Not perfection, but the presence of Jesus. There is something powerful about believers who spend time in prayer. Something powerful about Christians filled with the Spirit. You cannot fake spiritual authority. It comes with intimacy with God. When persecution comes, shallow Christianity collapses, but believers rooted deeply in God remain standing. After the threats, the disciples returned to the believers. And what did the church do? They prayed. Not panic, not complain, not retreat. They prayed. The early church understood that spiritual battles require spiritual weapons. Programs cannot replace prayer. Talent cannot replace prayer. Technology cannot replace prayer. We need the power of God. And listen carefully to what they prayed. They did not pray, "Lord, remove all opposition." They prayed, "Lord, grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." What a powerful prayer. Not escape, but boldness. Not comfort, but courage. This was a praying church. And every major revival in history was birthed through prayer. Prayer preceded Pentecost. Prayer sustained the apostles. Prayer strengthened missionaries. And prayer carried persecuted believers. The enemy trembles when the church prays, because prayer connects earthly weakness to heavenly power. And sometimes persecutions drive believers deeper into prayer. Comfort can create spiritual laziness, but suffering often creates spiritual hunger. Some people truly discover God only after walking through painful sessions. And perhaps some of you are facing pressure right now. Maybe God is drawing you deeper. One of the most encouraging truths in Acts 4 is this: persecution did not stop miracles. The authorities could threaten the apostles, but they could not deny the healed man standing there. And church, hear me, God still works in hostile environments. Darkness cannot stop divine power. Rome tried to destroy Christianity. Instead, the gospel spreads. Religious leaders tried to silence the apostles. Instead, revival increased. Prison could not stop Paul. Fire could not stop the Hebrew boys. Lions could not stop Daniel. Threats could not stop Jeremiah. And no power in hell can stop what God has ordained. We are living in troubled times. Wars, violence, moral confusions, spiritual deceptions. Yet God is still moving. People are still being saved. Families are still being restored. Addicts are still being delivered. Young people are still encountering God. Do not let headlines convince you that God is absent. The Spirit is still moving. Sometimes persecution becomes the very soil where revival grows. Acts 4 also shows us that persecution drove believers together. The church became united in prayer and purpose. Sufferings as a way to strip away superficial things. Petty arguments become unimportant when believers face real spiritual battles. The early churches was focused on prayer, holiness, and the mission of Christ. And holiness and honesty, many church divisions today reveal how comfortable people have become. Some divide over styles, preferences, and opinions. Meanwhile, persecuted believers around the world are simply praying for strength to survive. The Holy Ghost unifies believers around Jesus. When the Spirit truly moves, pride decreases, selflessness dies, love increases. Persecution reminds believers what really matters. Jesus matters. Soul matters. Eternity matters. This world is temporary. Governments change. Cultures shift. Fame disappears. But the kingdom of God remains forever. One day every knee, hallelujah, will bow. Jesus, before Jesus Christ, one day every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And only what is done for Christ will last. Hallelujah. 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 We lift up your name, mighty God. You are worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jeremiah is one of the most relatable prophets in scripture. He was honest about his pain. He felt rejected, lonely, discouraged, emotionally exhausted. Yet even in his weakness, the fire of God remains. Hallelujah. God, we lift you up. Heavenly Father, we worship you. Hallelujah. We bless your name, Father. Come in this place, Lord. You are worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yet in his weaknesses, the fire of God remained. And somebody listening today needs to hear this. Your exhaustions does not mean God has abandoned you. Some of God's greatest servants walked through dark valleys. Elijah became weary. David wept openly. Paul battled affliction, and Jeremiah cried before God. But God sustained them all. The enemy wants weary believers to quit. Quit praying. Quit serving. Quit believing. Quit standing for the truth of God. But the Spirit gives strength beyond human ability. Isaiah declared, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. God renews weary people. Perhaps some of you came carrying invisible burdens. Nobody sees your private battles. Nobody knows your tears. Nobody understands the pressure around your life. But God sees you. And the same Spirit that sustained Jeremiah can sustain you today. The same Spirit that empowered Peter can empower you. And you may feel pressured, but you are not abandoned. You may feel weary, but the fire still burns. Acts 4 closes with one of the most powerful moments in the New Testament. After the believers prayed, the place was shaken. Think about that. Their prayer meeting moved heaven. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the word of God with boldness. The answer to persecution was not retreat. The answer was fresh infilling. The answer to opposition was not silence. The answer was renewed courage. Brethren, we do not need less of the Spirit in difficult times. We need more. The days ahead require believers who know God deeply, not casual Christianity, not surface level faith. We need men and women filled with the Holy Ghost, young people filled with fire. Hallelujah. Parents filled with wisdom, churches filled with prayer, preachers filled with conviction, believers filled with courage. Because darkness is increasing, but grace is increasing also. I believe God is still raising up a generation that will not bow to compromise. Not because they are naturally strong, but because the Spirit of God lives within them. I once heard about believers gathering secretly in a hostile nation. They enter the building one at a time, so authorities could not suspect a worship service. Some carried only pages of scripture, because owning a Bible was dangerous. Some sang quietly to avoid detection. Yet many testified they had never felt closer to God. Think about that. People risking everything just to worship the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. Meanwhile, in many, many comfortable places, people neglect church because it becomes inconvenient. Persecution reveals value. Another story tells of a pastor imprisoned for preaching Christ. He was beaten and threatened repeatedly. Finally, someone asked him, "Will you stop preaching?" He answered, "If you release me tomorrow, I will preach again tomorrow." That is Holy Ghost courage. You cannot manufacture what human determination. You cannot manufacture that with human determination. And perhaps one of the greatest dangers facing the modern church is not persecution, but distraction. Entertainment distracts, social media distracts, materialism distracts. The enemy does not always destroy believers through direct attack. Sometimes he simply weakens spiritual hunger. But the Spirit awakes people. God is calling the church back to prayer, back to holiness, back to surrender, and back to boldness, back to the power of the Holy Ghost. Acts 4 forces every believer to answer an important question. Who will you be when pressure comes? Will you compromise? Will you remain silent? Will you retreat into comfort? Or will you stand filled with the Spirit? Because persecution is not always physical. Sometimes persecution looks like rejection. Sometimes it looks like ridicule. Sometimes it looks like losing opportunities because you refuse compromise. Joshua declared, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Daniel kept praying when prayer became illegal. The Hebrew boys refused to bow. The apostles kept preaching despite threats. And believers today must carry the same spirit, not hatred, not bitterness, and not pride, not unwavering faithfulness. The world does not need an angry church. The world needs a spirit-filled church, a church filled of truth, a church filled of compassion, a church full of courage, a church full of power. Jesus never hid the cost of discipleship, yet he said, "If any man will come after me, Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Following Jesus costs everything. It may cost popularity. It may cost comfort. It may cost relationships. For some believers around the world, it costs freedom. For others, it costs life itself. But Jesus is worth it all. The apostles understood this. They had seen the risen Christ. They had experienced the Holy Ghost. They knew eternity was real. The world offers temporary pleasure. Jesus offers eternal life. The world offers applause. Jesus offers everlasting joy. The world offers empty identity. Jesus offers redemption. Paul said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Romans 8, verse 18. One day suffering will end. One day persecution will end. One day every battle will end. And believers will stand forever in the presence of Jesus. That hope sustained the early church, and that hope sustains us today. As I close, I imagine Peter and John leaving that council chamber, threatened, opposed, watched closely, yet victorious. Not because circumstances were easy, but because the spirit within them was greater than the pressure around them. I imagine Jeremiah sitting in tears, exhausted and discouraged, ready to quit. But suddenly the fire of God began burning again. And perhaps somebody listening today feels like Jeremiah. You are tired, wounded, discouraged, pressured by life. But the fire still burns. The Holy Ghost still strengthens. The Spirit still comforts. The Spirit still empowers. The Spirit still gives courage. And no pressure, no persecution, no opposition, and no devil in hell can destroy a believer who is filled with the Spirit of God. So stand firm, pray fervently, worship boldly, live holy, and preach courageously. And when the world pressures you to stay silent, answer like the apostles. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. May God raise up a church that cannot be intimidated, a church that cannot be silenced, a church full of truth, a church full of compassion, a church full of the Holy Ghost fire, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. 1 John 4, verse 4. And the same spirit that shook the early church still moves today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.